Father, we lift our hands in surrender. We ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies, your grace, your counsel, correction, and direction. As we repent for every sin, transgression, and iniquities, lusts, the eye, the flesh, and pride of life, coming in agreement with the voice of the stranger, touching unclean things, unfulfilled vows. Lord, have mercy upon us and wash us with the blood of the Lamb. So we welcome the Holy Spirit in this house. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I exalt thee. Come, Holy Spirit. Yes. You are so worthy. You are so worthy, Master, of all of our praise, all of our honor, all of our surrender, and all of our reverence to you. And we just want to say thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for truth. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for putting up with us. Thank you for the angels that bear us up. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you. Thank you. Now, Daddy, open eyes, ears, and heart. Let the anointing break yokes of bondage and even heal your people while we're standing with you. As I send your word to each and every one, that by the stripes of Jesus, you be made whole, healed, delivered, filled, and set apart for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you and we love you. Come. Come, Lord. Bring revival to the body of Christ. Come, Lord. Bring revival to this country. Bring revival to Jerusalem and Israel. Lord, come. Set your people apart under your wing, but in unity of one another, in like-mindedness, like-heartedness, and like-willedness, according to your will. Bless us tonight, Master. Bless us with your presence. Bless us with revelation. Bless us with impartation, that we may be more like you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And of course, it's a good night to die. Yes, it is. Would you turn to Luke 12, please? Luke chapter 12. And verse 43. Luke 12, 43. Okay, 42. Luke 12, 42. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his master will make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Surely I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants, and eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the unbelievers." So obviously he was a believer. "And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself," everyone say prepare himself, "or do according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deservingly of stripes, shall be beaten with few." Come on, read it with me. "For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. In other words, much is given, much will be what? Required. You know, when God begins to give us all kinds of things, and let me share something with you which is important, because in this house we get a lot of things. We get a lot of impartation. And because of that, much is required of us. So, our requirement might be more than someone else's. Somebody who's been a believer and walking with the Lord, their requirement is more than someone who just became a believer, isn't there? And in this, we must be careful, because one of the things we've talked about already was those divine desires and demonic desires. So a baby in Christ might get away with a little bit more than somebody who's been walking with the Lord. Has everybody got it? So much is required to an individual, to much has been given. So if you know a lot of truth, you're accountable to more. And in this, you and I and many others who've been maybe walking a little bit longer than others have gone through more trials and tribulations, haven't we? So many have gone through, the more trials and tribulations you go through, and the more those testings you pass, the more you earn the trust of the Lord. Has everybody got it? Now I want to share something with you, because so many times we don't realize that we are tested on a daily basis, aren't we? God's always tested. Why? Because he's always trying to get something to us, isn't he? And it's the little things that you're tested more on than the larger things. It's that little simple thing. You know, today when I was in jail today, and as I was ministering, one of the things that the Spirit quickened me to was, you know, many of the guys in there, they buy Twinkies and chips. And I share with them, it's time to turn in your Twinkies and chips and start getting a folder, a notebook pad, so you can start taking notes. Because many of them recycle because they just sit in there and they'll take their Bible and they'll just read along, but they're not taking notes. Well, notes don't forget. And our responsibility is to be able to teach what we learn. What's the point of coming if you're not going to take notes and teach what you learn? Why? See, those little things is what God looks at you as an individual to see where you are. That's where he tests you. See, but the natural mind doesn't get that. They just think, well, I'm here at a Bible study, or here I'm at a service. See, you're not participating then. Does everybody understand? I don't care where you go and what service you go to. You should have your Bible and a notebook and a pen and be ready. You're to be ready in season and out. Has everybody got it? Why? Because God wants to impart something in you for you to impart to somebody else. And so many times, because people haven't taken notes or something, they forget. And the Bible even says something about, what do we get approved by? Studying, don't we? You're to study to be approved, aren't you? So how are you going to study if you don't take notes? Does everybody get this? Why? Because you and I are earning the trust of God, aren't we? So you're going through trials, tribulations, and testings. All of these things are adding up and adding up, and you're earning the trust of God. And it's amazing in how many things can add up and add up and add up, and it only takes one mishap to lose the trust of God. But many testings to earn the trust of God. But one mishap, and you'll lose the trust of God. That's all it takes, is one. Has everybody got it? Is everybody okay? That's why, for much is given, much is what? Much is required. It only takes one unfaithful event to lose the trust of God. That's it. And you'll have to go through all of that stuff again to earn it back again. In other words, what had happened was a wrong choice was made. And that wrong choice was from a demonic desire, which brought a false vision. And then, of course, what happens then, that you got to reap and re-earn his trust, don't you? Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? This is important. This is why we must hold on. And that's why the Bible says that we're to be watchful in everything. He's looking for someone to rule. He's looking for faithful servants in every area, no matter what it is. And there's that area right now. We are in a critical, critical time where you can't compromise. You can't manipulate. You can't exaggerate. You got to be pure before God. And going through these testings and these testings and these testings to earn the trust of God and to lose it all over one unfaithful event and have to start over. And you know, you could talk to a lot of people who've broken covenant with God, and it's tough to get back in line. Not saying that you can't, but you get back in line then, don't you? And then you earn his trust again. But it takes a little bit longer for things to be released. Why? Because your trusting pattern now will be extended compared to where it was before. Go to Luke 18. You know, and it goes back to what we had talked about before in the other teaching about divine desires, you know. And that's where pride comes in, individuals promoting themselves and so forth. You know, an individual that promotes themselves has not earned the trust of God. They're trying to get into a place and position that God's not placed them. And they will never earn the trust of God. And they won't earn the trust of people either. In Luke 18, in verse 18. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? Now, a certain ruler asked Jesus, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." So when Jesus heard these things, he said to them, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was what? Very rich. He wasn't willing to forsake all to get all. See, he couldn't get it. He didn't realize that if he was willing to forsake all, God was willing to replace it. In other words, he was saying, "Man, I do all of these things. I'm cool. I'm all right. Come on, me and you. Yeah, high five, low five, high five, you know." But he got him caught up in a sci-fi. That's what he got caught up in. And in that man was deceived. Why? Because Jesus tested him. Why? Because he was boasting of himself and what he had done. And Jesus said, "Okay, then sell it all." Huh? Who? Huh? What? Wait a minute. That's mine. That's mine, he's saying. Wait a minute. You know, can we do a 50-50? No. Sell it all, he says. Because he knew where this man's heart was. He wasn't willing to forsake all to get all because of selfish desires, which are demonic. See, we must come to a place in understanding that you and I don't own anything. We are to be stewards. But there's a place of pride that sneaks in, that begins to establish an area where we believe that we own it. Now, we're to treat it like we own it, but in a realization is we don't own it. So by this, we are stewards. So that makes us accountable in the area where we know it's somebody else's goods. No matter what. It's somebody else's. See, if you recognize that, you're always going to acknowledge him before you do anything. Why? Because you're always going to talk to the owner of it. See, but so many times we think, "Well, you know, this is mine anyways. You know, I worked hard for this. I can go do this." But it's really not true. Because that is a desire of selfishness. Is everybody okay? You know, there are many people. How many times have you gone out there, you've seen a beautiful car, and you said, "Man, I want that car."
Ooh, that's the car I need. Lord, that's the car, that's the car, that's the car. But that ain't the payment. Then the enemy justifies. Well, come on, you can work a couple more hours. Yeah. Maybe I can work a couple more hours to get that. Yeah. Yeah, that's the car I've been waiting for all my life. Well, you weren't supposed to have a life, right? My, how quickly we turn from surrendering our life to God and taking it back to fulfill a selfish desire. It's amazing in how many times. Listen, when I was in the world, I used to manipulate myself. I didn't need the devil to do it. I could convince myself that that's what I needed. No problem. And just show up with it. Honey, I'm home. Oh, yeah, that new bike. Yeah, I needed it today. So in this, you know, we have got to come to a realization about and really discern these areas of these desires. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want. And that it's about, what do you want, Lord? What do you want? Is everybody okay? Go to Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3. Is everybody there? Oh, glory. Let's read verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for what? Christ. What's the word Christ mean? The anointing. Let me share something very important. So many times, these selfish desires, these areas where we want what we want when we want it, the anointing steps right back. Whew. And you're on your own. Like I said, it only takes one unfaithful event to lose the trust of the Lord. Does everybody understand this? I'm telling you again, we are at a critical, critical time. Doesn't he say, acknowledge me in all of your ways and I will what? Establish your steps. Doesn't he say, commit to me your works and I'll establish your what? Thoughts. Right? Again, I can't emphasize enough about the critical time we are at right now. I'm telling you that the line is finer than it's ever been in this area of staying on this fine line. Because many people are swaying. They're still trying to save their life. Let me tell you something. So, you used to live wealthy at one time. You used to have this at one time. You used to have that at one time. Well, it ain't that. It is now. It's not the way it is now. Things are different now. Things are totally different now. We are in an area right now where if you're going to store anything, you ought to be storing canned goods. Hello. Don't be fooled at what's going on around you. Oh, things are getting better. Right. That's when the prophets warned them. Yes, they'll say peace, peace, and all of a sudden destruction. We are at any moment on a cutting edge of an event. At any moment. Does everybody understand? And we cannot lose that sight. It's very important. So no matter what, we must be ready. You and I can't live the way we used to live in the world. That's over with. Hello? That's not the way it is anymore. We are in a different season, a different setting, and in preparation. We must be on ready. You know, remember when they were in the wilderness, right? And Moses, what did he tell him? He says, listen, don't put any leaven in your bread. Why? Because you got to get ready. There's no time to put leaven in your bread and wait for it to rise. You must be ready at all times now. This is where we're at. Let's go a little further. Verse 8. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for what? The excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ, that I may gain the what? The anointing. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Oh, counting it all loss and rubbish for the presence of the eternal God. Romans 13. Romans 13. Glory to God. Things are happening. Romans 13. Is everybody there? Verse 11. Let's read it together. And do this knowing the time, that now is the what? High time. To what? Awake out of what? Sleep. You know what puts you to sleep? Self. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. It's time for awakening. And there's a tremendous awakening, not only in the body of Christ, but in the world. You know, people are beginning to awaken all over the place. In statistics and everything that they've been taking, there's a more and more awakening going on. And the reality that something's not right, and maybe their government could be wrong. You know, hello? Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. I say then what? Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I've told you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now we know that these are demonic desires, aren't they? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. 24, read it with me. And those who are what? Christ. Those who are walking in the Spirit, the anointing, have what? Crucified the flesh with its what? Passions and its what? Desires. That is called mortifying the flesh. That is called what? Mortifying the flesh. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. Mortifying your flesh through the anointing. Now, the anointing will mortify your flesh, and you've got to understand something. When Jesus was with some of the tax collectors and so forth, and the Pharisees and Sadducees, and you remember when he was at dinner at somebody's house, and Mary Magdalene came in, and what did she do? She anointed him, didn't she? And everybody around him got offended, even his own disciples. Oh, man, hey, it's good oil, man. We could sell that. She broke the alabaster box and so forth. And Jesus said, hold on a second. She is anointing me for my burial. I want you to understand the importance of not only being backed by the anointing, but carrying the anointing and submitting to the anointing and serving the anointing. Because it's the anointing that will mortify your flesh. Has everybody got it? It says it right here. And those who are what? Christ. In other words, if you're in Christ, you're walking in an anointing. As the Bible said, he was in Christ as a new creation. It's the anointing that mortifies your flesh. Does everybody get this? That's why it's so important to press in until you sense your flesh being mortified. Now let me explain to you what mortified is. Mortified is to destroy the strength, vitality, or function. It is to destroy the strength, vitality, or function of a member. It is to subdue, deaden bodily appetites or desires. I'll say this again. Mortify. To mortify your flesh, it is to destroy the strength, vitality, or the function of a member. It is to subdue and deaden the bodily appetites or desires. That's what mortify means. So we are to allow the anointing to mortify the flesh. Why? Because it's going to crucify the flesh and its passions and desires so that you can make the right decisions. Is everybody okay? Go to Colossians 3. Start at verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, if you were raised with the anointing, praise God, we're being raised with the anointing now. Seek those things which are above, which Christ, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died. Oh, for you what? You died. Say, I died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. In other words, your life is now in the anointing. When Christ, who is our life, do you see this? When Christ, who is our life, appears, do you understand that the anointing is your life? It says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to what? Death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire. That's called demonic. And covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but what? Christ is all and in all. So we are to put to death our members. With what? The anointing. Do you understand that? See, the more you submit to the Spirit, the more you die. And I'm not talking just submitting to the Spirit when you come to service. Or you come to a Bible study. I'm talking about living in the anointing. He says, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Do you understand right now, because there's such a critical time where the enemy, and you got to understand that the enemy is moving stronger than he ever has. There are more people also falling than before. Hello. There are more people making wrong decisions. There are people losing the trust of God, that God has to bring them through all over again to earn his trust. And it's delaying his return. Why? Because he would lose too many. Go to 2 Corinthians 2. Doesn't the Bible say his desire is that no one be what? Lost. In verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in what? Triumph in what? In the anointing. Man, do you see this? We need neon signs. I'm telling you, if the rest of the body of Christ would get this, things would be a lot better. They're still trying to build the church on the Word instead of the presence. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Through us, what does it do? Diffuses the what? Fragrance of His knowledge in every place. For we are to God the what? Fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. In other words, that anointing is the fragrance. What was the, remember the anointing? The anointing oil was made with frankincense and herbs and so forth. There was a special fragrance to it, wasn't there? In the presence of God, there's a special fragrance. Sometimes you can smell, you can sense His presence right there. And it's just overwhelming. And you can't explain exactly what herb or what it is or whatever, but it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. In verse 16. To one we are the aroma of what? Death. Leading to death. And to another the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God we speak in the sight of God, where? In the anointing, in Christ. We are the fragrance. For some people, we are the fragrance of death because they are perishing. But those who are coming to Christ and those who are being saved, we are the fragrance of life. Through what? The anointing. Why? Because you're allowing the anointing to mortify your flesh. You are allowing the anointing to what? Mortify your flesh. Deaden. Right? Deaden. What else does it say? To destroy the strength of your flesh. So you do not do those things that you desire. Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Glory to the Lamb. Is everybody there? Psalm 116 and verse 8. Would you read it with me, please? For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore, I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord, and I will pay my vows to the Lord. Now in the presence of all of His people. 15, read it. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Oh Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord, now in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. So the Lord takes pleasure in the death of His saints. What is He talking about? Your flesh being mortified. You dying to yourself. Revelation 12. Mortifying the flesh. Yes. Yeah. When those guys heard me today in jail about exchanging their Twinkies for a notepad, was a little rougher than I could tell. But you know what? I'm telling you what, many of them got it. I had guys come up to me and said, and they said, I had one guy come up to me and he said, "Man, I have not cried in years. And I wept today." He said, "I wept today. My heart was broke." He said, "I've not realized where I've been and what I've been doing." And many people were touched today by the presence of the Lord in our jail ministry today. And I brought all of these cards and, you know, daily confessions, deliverance prayers, this, that, whatever. The prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Man, I put it out there. These guys ran up and were taking them. Because the Spirit was moving and touching their heart. Because we are at a critical time. And God is awakening people. I mean, I saw a powerful awakening today in the jail. He's awakening them. But many people are falling asleep too because they've been awakened. And now they're walking away from the anointing and getting religious, relying on the page numbers. And self is putting them back to sleep. Hallelujah. Revelation 12. And verse 10. "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His what?'" Oh, praise God. "And the power of His what?" His Christ, His anointing. The eternal presence, power, and truth. "And a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Now the salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down.' And they overcame Him by the what? The blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death." Because of why? The anointing. It mortified their flesh. They allowed it to mortify their flesh. Do you understand that? Now look at, what does it say then? "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time." Now, there's a difference between a heavenly dweller and an earth dweller. An earth dweller is one without the anointing. A heavenly dweller is one with the anointing. You got it? See, so you're either a humanite or an eternalite, right? So he says, woe to those without the anointing. Woe. For the devil's come down. See, the devil can only get those who are carnal. Do you understand it? Why? Because the Bible says that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the anointing. And it's amazing in how the devil will convince someone to walk away from the anointing and get religious. And things, now they, because somebody offered a job or somebody this or that or whatever it might be, that's about money. You know, the god of this world is money. That's how people manipulate it. So what's happening right now? There's an economic problem, isn't there? So what's he causing people to do? He's trying to cause people to walk away from the anointing so they begin to chase the buck. So that their ethics begin to compromise. The moral standard standing before Christ is beginning to compromise. So money can come. And justification comes and says, well, Lord, I can use it for your kingdom. Come on, think about this. And they're actually walking away from the anointing and falling asleep. Now, the Bible talks about sleep also. The end result is death. But it's not the death of self. It is death to life. So we are not earthly dwellers. We are heavenly dwellers. And we overcome earthly dwelling by mortifying your flesh. Through what? The anointing. Psalm 141. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? And verse 5. Oh, well, let's start at verse 3. David was an individual that wanted to protect the anointing. You know, when he broke covenant with God, he had to start over too. In fact, many people died because of what he did. And then the Lord didn't allow him to build the house of the Lord. And the curse came down the family line. He lost his child. All kinds of things happened. But he had to re-earn the trust of God now. And he told David, your sword will never rest now. You will fight for the rest of your days. And you can't build my house. So that price of that unfaithful event cost him all the way to his death that he could never build the house of God. Does everybody see that? All the wars and fighting Goliath and taking Goliath's sword and cutting his own head off and all of the things that David had done and earned the trust of God. That one event that night with Bathsheba and in killing her husband lost the trust of God. And he reaped all the way to his death because of that one event. Why? Because much is given, much is required. Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my what? Mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity. Do not let me eat of their delicacies. Let the righteous what? Strike me, it shall be a kindness, and let him rebuke me, it shall be an excellent oil, and let my head not refuse it, for still my prayers against the deeds of the wicked. Didn't he say, take not thy Holy Spirit from me? Lord, please don't take the Holy Spirit from me. In other words, don't take the anointing from me. Please. Don't take the anointing from me. That should be a cry to each and every one of us. Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Don't let me grieve. That's why it was the Bible said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he is your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. David was basically crying out, kill me! Mortify my flesh! Let my brother strike me! Here's a baseball bat! Beat me! It will be an oil on my head, praise God! What was he talking about? Man, if I can mortify my flesh for somebody else beating me up, that means the anointing is there. He was trying, he was so afraid, he did not want to lose the anointing. He was willing to get beat up to maintain the anointing. What was he trying to do? Mortify his flesh. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Is everybody there? Good. 24. Read it with me. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I what? Discipline. Oh, there it is, that word. Discipline. My body. And bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Whoa. I discipline my flesh. In other words, I assist in its mortification by submitting to the anointing. Go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. It's Matthew 6, I'm sorry. Not Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. Glory to God. Would you all read it with me? Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. What? Sympathy. Pity. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Will reward you what? Openly. Yeah. Fasting. Now I want to share something with you about fasting, because fasting will assist in your mortification of the flesh. Sometimes people are struggling with fleshly things and fleshly desires, and that's all they need to do is fast. Are you listening? Now, fasting is just not eating. Sometimes you need to fast from watching TV, playing golf, playing tennis. Sometimes you need to fast from certain things, you know. If you're struggling with something where these desires are moving you out of position, you must fast them. You know, sometimes people get offended or struggling with something, and that's just because they touched and agreed with the devil that says they're struggling. So they run to the refrigerator, and they look for something special to eat, to try to satisfy the area of overcoming their frustration. Or they call somebody, and they always call the same person all the time to try to satisfy themselves, or try to get somebody to come in agreement with them. Hello?
Man, did you see what what's his name did to what's his name, and what's his name, and don't you think this? Yeah, that was me. He did it to me, too.
You know. See, sometimes you need to fast from that phone. Some people blink their eyes, and a voicemail comes on. They raise their hand, and there's a text message, you know. They're so connected to their cell phone, they can't live without it. Sometimes we need to fast from just calling, and instead of going to the phone, start going to the throne. And in that area of fasting, it will assist. In other words, you're submitting now to the anointing to help mortify the flesh by fasting from certain things that are bringing you pleasure or assisting in your, let's say, your demonic desire or unhealthy desire. Is everybody okay? Go to 2 Corinthians 13. In other words, fasting means to abstain from. Now, if you've hearing somebody all around you saying, man, you need to stop doing this, something's up. You know? And then you know what happens? People go to somebody else and go, well, what do you think about this? Well, what do you I get people to come to council all the time, and they get a word from council. Then they go to somebody else and say, what do you think about this? See, because remember, the Bible says in the latter days, people get itchy ears. So they're trying to find someone to come and agree with them, because they're not willing to accept the counsel, correction, or direction, because that desire is overtaking them. And it will mislead them and move them right out of the anointing. In 2 Corinthians 13, is everybody there? Nice. Let's go to verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the what? Power of God, which is the what?
The anointing.
For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the what? Power of God, which is the what?
Hello.
In verse 5. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are what? Disqualified. Now, remember we talked about how do you get disqualified? By not keeping disciplined. Trying to tell somebody else what to do when you can't do it will disqualify you. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we pray that you may be, made what? Complete. See, it's the anointing that completes you. Does everybody got it? The anointing completes you. See, so many times we think we need to get completed when it's the anointing that completes you. Why? Because that's what God sees. God does not see our foolishness. He does not see what you've done. He's seeing what you have become and what you're becoming. And he looks at the anointing. Why? Because the anointing is his son. Hello? So he's looking at his son. That's why it says when he appears, we will appear with him and be like him. Because God, the Father, is looking at us in the image and likeness of his son. All the way through. James chapter 1. Mortifying your flesh. That's why things are getting tighter, you know that? You're getting squeezed. Like an olive or a grape. It's going to either produce more wine or more oil. James chapter 1, is everybody there? Verse 22. But be what? Doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is an idiot. He is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues, say continue. In other words, you must be consistent in it, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If any among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. One of the first things that will puff up your flesh is your tongue. You can go all, you can fast 40 days and say something stupid. And it just got flushed. Hello. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. 1 Peter 4. Unspotted from the world. In other words, don't become an earthly dweller. You are a heavenly dweller. Is everybody there? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, read it. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but live for the what? Will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation. Speaking what? Evil of you. In other words, you're being persecuted, aren't you? They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God, where? In the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be what? Serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 6, read it. Therefore what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may what? Exalt you in due time, or grant you favor. Casting all your care upon him, for he what? Cares for you. And let me share something with you which will also quench the Holy Spirit. Not casting your cares upon the Lord. It'll quench him. Why? Because now you're working in the flesh trying to fix it all. See, one of the things the devil will do is reason with you. He loves to reason with you. You know, I mean, so many times people have missed the things that God wanted them to do because the devil reasoned with them, and they missed God. Now they have to wait for another cycle to come around to get what God had for them. And it's never the same. It's usually something a little bit different because they're recipes. And did you ever notice every recipe, no matter how many times you try to duplicate it, there's always something a little bit different. And verse 8, be sober, be what? Vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, and strengthen you, and what? And settle you. What's happening during this process? Your flesh is being mortified. Has everybody got it? Suffering will cause your flesh to mortify. So what is he doing? He's allowing you to suffer, but you're walking in the anointing during the suffering. You're getting squeezed. To what? Perfect you, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you, so you're immovable. And to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And everybody said, amen. Mortifying the flesh. It's our responsibility to cooperate with the anointing to mortify the flesh. Again, I want to share something important, and that is, you've gone through many tests and trials. Don't let that one unfaithful event cause you to have to start over again. We're at a critical time. We're to be watchful in all things. Be ready in season and out. Be servants to the anointing. Stewards to the mysteries of God. And ambassadors to the eternal kingdom. It's our position and job. For much is given, much is what? Required. It will. The Bible says it will be required. Amen? Is everybody okay? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And I pray, Father, that the seed would grow and bear fruit for your glory. I ask that you'll protect it as I apply the blood on these seeds, and that you'll give us the strength to say yes to you in every area. In any area where we've offended you or grieved you, Holy Spirit, we repent. Get us back in position that we may be totally surrendered to you, servants to the anointing, and bringing glory to the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, and to God be the glory.